Whenever a picture is taken, someone in the photograph says almost immediately, "Let me see it." And it's instantaneous. But it didn't always used to be that way. You used to have to remember, finish the roll of film and drop it by the store, wait for it to be processed, pick it up. But then what happened next was exactly the same as what happens today. That we start thumbing through those pictures. And one of the first things we do in looking at a picture is to find ourselves in the photograph. To look for our face in the crowd, that perhaps it takes a lifetime to learn how to correctly see ourselves. And the picture of Pentecost is quite helpful because we are all there somewhere in the crowd. There are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, and others. We are all there. And right as the snapshot is taken, the wind goes blowing through the room. And all of a sudden, those who speak different languages can understand one another, that they're bound together by something more. That it's the Spirit of God building the church. Now, there was another building project earlier on, back there in the book of Genesis, where everyone spoke the same language. And they were building that skyscraper, trying to reach to the highest heavens, but then God reaches down, confuses their language, and scatters them throughout the earth. And the crime of the story about that Tower of Babel was not necessarily that they were building that skyscraper. It might have more to do with something said earlier in the book of Genesis, where God said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And again, a little later in Genesis, God says to Noah, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So when God confuses the language and scatters the people, it was not so much a punishment as much as it was the fulfillment of a blessing to fill the earth. Because when everyone spoke the same language, it led to problems. Because everyone had to be the same. There was no room for anything but uniformity. You had to speak the same language. In one rabbinic tradition, the rabbis teach that God was alarmed because the people spoke the same language because the people feared that if anyone left the city of Babel, that people are prone to different thoughts, and if they spoke different languages, it would lead to different opinions. Which is hard to believe. You get three Baptists in a room, you've got five opinions. That's just par for the course. But the danger of uniformity is that it leads to anonymity. That everyone is the same. In another rabbinic tradition, the rabbis say that if one of the workers standing high upon that scaffolding, working on that tower, would fall, no one would pay attention because everyone was the same. But if one of those workers dropped a brick and it fell to the ground and broke, they would be worried how they would ever replace it. because the project had become more important than the people. In fact, when we read the story about the Tower of Babel, no names are ever mentioned, only brick and mortar. And to drive this point home, the writer places right before the story and right after it a genealogy. Then right before the story about the Tower of Babel, we read the genealogy of Noah. It's Ham and Shem and Japheth and all their children. There are so many names on the page, our eyes just start to gloss over. And then right after, it's the genealogy of Shem and all of his descendants. And interestingly, Shem means name. It's as if the writer does not want us to miss the fact that there are no names in the city of Babel. But God knows our name. Every person is important. God calls us to unity, not uniformity. And that's the picture of Pentecost. All of these people from all of these places speaking different languages and yet brought together, bound together by something more. That it's a very different kind of building project, not bricks and mortar, but the Spirit and people. Perhaps we've all experienced those differences between us, even with those closest to us, whether it's the differences between our children or our siblings or our cousins, that we all share the same stories, experiences, memories, and yet we are so different from one another that two people could grow up 10 feet from each other under the same roof and be as different as night and day. It's why one writer points out that if we took the Bible seriously, we may never get past the first chapter. Because there it says, God created humankind in his image and said, it is very good. That we could spend a lifetime on just that. And we saw evidence of this building project that grows out of the winds of the Spirit throughout Vacation Bible School. Whether it was reflecting on the stories of Jesus, where he reaches out to the woman at the well or the man at the pool, because every person is important. Or whether it was down there at the crafts table where the children were creating something, bringing these stories to life and all they were learning, and every craft was as unique as every child. Or whether it's the stories about those from Alabama and elsewhere joining with those in Malawi, Africa, across all sorts of differences to build wells that are life giving for a community. That God says, it is very good. When we hold up those pictures, looking for our face in the photograph, that is no simple thing. That we are learning how to see ourselves correctly, wanting to know, do we belong. And we could spend a lifetime on just that. Because, as one author says, the difference, the opposite of belonging, is fitting in. That it's much easier to fit in. And since the opposite of belonging is fitting in, we have to see the whole picture differently. That we have to see others correctly in order to see ourselves correctly, seeing the goodness in our differences. Because God calls us to unity, not to uniformity. Several weeks ago, I was reading a story to one of our classes in the Child Development Center, the four-year-olds, and I was sitting on one of those small plastic chairs down near the ground, and they were all gathered on a rug in the corner of the room, and they were listening closely, and I was doing my best to keep their attention, you know, trying to show them the pictures on the page and change the inflection in my voice. But as I was reading the story, I peered over the edge of the book, and there were two little girls sitting on the front row. And in the middle of the story, one of them turns to the other and says, "Will you be my friend today?" It was hard to keep going in the story. I wanted to say, "I'll be your friend today." That she just wanted a friend for today. And sometimes that is all this means. To be a friend for that day, for that moment in need, whoever it is standing in front of us. Other times, it does call us to a bigger commitment. But many times, that is all this means. To offer the gift of friendship for a moment, for a single day, whenever it is needed. That the winds of Pentecost remind us that we have that much in common, bound together by something bigger than whatever might separate us. The love of God that says to all of us, "It is very good." That we learn to look for the goodness of God in others throughout the world, which can actually lead us back home to see the goodness of God in ourselves as well. Amen.